Blog Talk Radio.
Good night.
words of life and promises that you have promised us, that you have given to us, so that we will know that you are our God, our Creator, our leader, our righteousness. You said you'll never leave us or forsake us. Help us, O Lord, to remember these words of promises and to teach others and to remind them of their great Redeemer who is soon to come. Bless us as we come together. May we glorify you in our words, in our deed, in our actions, O Lord, in our thoughts. Have mercy upon us. Truly, Lord, forgive us, Lord. For us to turn from our wicked ways to serve you. Take away the cares of the world, the wants, the need of the world, the things that are not of you, that are of self and selfishness. Lord, remove them. We cannot do it. We give you permission to work on our behalf, on the behalf of our children, our family, our friends, Lord, even our neighbors, Lord. Bless the speaker. When you come at the 8 o'clock hour, from this moment, may you fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Give him words to bring, O Lord, word to speak, which will endure life and warning and correction unto everyone that hear it. We thank you again. We praise you. We glorify, we magnify your name. It's nothing we have done. It's all because of you and you giving yourself a ransom for this sinful creature. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. Those that are throughout the world, Canada, Japan, you are the Netherlands, the Caribbean, and here in the United States, and Central and South America. We welcome you, and those who will be listening to this report, we welcome you. Thank you for joining us. And I will hear my reading for this evening before I open the line. So if you have a song of meditation, prayer request, if you'd like to offer a prayer also, please press 1 so I can open your line as soon as I'm finished. Yes. Page 148, and also from prayer, page 161, paragraph 3. It says, pray daily for the blessing the Sabbath brings. Again, Titus, pray daily for the blessing the Sabbath brings. All who regard the Sabbath as a sign between them and God shows that he is the God will represent the principle of his government. They will bring into daily practice the law of his kingdom. Daily it will be their prayers that the sanctification of the Sabbath may rest upon them. Every day they will have the companionship of Christ and will even pitiful, the perfection of his character. Every day will shine forth to others in good work. And that one is Testimony for the Church, volume 6, page 353. And also prayer, page 161, paragraph 2. And correction, there's the word, I'll go over it. It says, all who regard the Sabbath as a sign between them and God, showing that he is the God who sanctifies them. So the word is sanctified. God sanctify us, brothers and sisters, and we want to be sanctified. Is that right? We want to be holy, for God is coming for our holy people, and we want to be amongst them. Continue, a parent's daily prayer. Make your work pleasant with songs of praise. If you would have a clean record in the books of heaven, never fret or scold. Let your daily prayer be, Lord, teach me
to do my best. Teach me how to do better work. Give me energy and cheerfulness. Bring Christ into all that you do. Then your lives will be filled with brightness and thanksgiving. Let us do our best, moving forward cheerfully in the service of the Lord, with our hearts filled with His joy. Amen. May our hearts be filled with the joy of God. Child Guidance, page 148. And also, as we come together here on this line, may our hearts be filled with the joy of God, and may we rightly represent Him, and may we give Him honor and glory and praises. James 4, starting at verse 7, it says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Verse 11. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Amen. And that's up to verse 12, from verse 7 to verse 12. So, again, thank you, my brothers and sisters, and I will go ahead and open the line for the first caller that has pressed 1. Amen. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Welcome this evening to Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line, 518-482.
Okay. Good evening, everyone.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. The Sabbath is always, always a joyful occasion, because when we work very hard during the week, we look forward for this day of rest. Rest from all your troubles, all your thinking, all your, you know, everything that you do. And you can relax and enjoy the Sabbath. So I love this verse in Psalms 120. Yes, it says, no, Psalms 122:1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And for this evening, I want to sing this song, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Because all of us this evening should come to this prayer line with, you know, in a joyful mood. Whatever troubles us during the week, we should just leave it there, drop it at the feet of Jesus and leave it there, and come in the Sabbath with a light mind. So as I like to sing, I would like to sing this song for all of us. It says, I sing, joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Our sinful life flourishes before thee, hail thee as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Give our immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thine works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, blossom in meadow, flashing sea. Chanting bird and flowing fountain, cause us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing our Father, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other. Lift us to the joy divine. And I hope on this beautiful Sabbath evening that we all will try to live in unity, because all God's creation are living in unity. All of God's creation are praising him right now. And only man is the only creation that really disobey God. So this evening, I just want to encourage us to come before him every Sabbath and give God the praise that is due to his matchless name. And I would stay right here and say thank you, Sister Paula, for opening my line. And God bless all of us that comes on this line each Friday evening to welcome the Sabbath. May God bless you and have a happy Sabbath, one and all. Amen. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Pansinelli. Joyful, joyful, we adore you. You should be on our hearts, in our minds, every time we wake up, every day, thanking the Lord and being joyful that we are still in the land of the living and that we can praise him and give him glory. Amen. So, again, thank you, Sister Consonelli, for coming on and sharing. Is there any others who would like to share? Please press in your line. Amen. It's sharing time, brothers and sisters, so please press 1 so that your line can be open. I just want to share reading from the Controversy, the 88th version. It's the scripture. The title is The Scripture, A Safeguard, chapter 37. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. The people of God directed to the scripture as their safeguard against influence of false teachers and delusive power. A spirit of darkness. Satan employs every possible device to prevent men from obtaining a knowledge of the Bible, for its plain utterance reveal its deception. At every revival of God's work, the prince of evil is aroused to more intense activity. He is now putting forth his most efforts for a final struggle against Christ and his followers. The last great delusion is soon to open before us. Antichrist is to perform his miracles, works in our sight. So closely will the counterfeit resemble the truth that it will be impossible to distinguish between them except by the Holy Scriptures. By their testimonies, every statement and every miracle must be tested. So we have to be very, very careful, brothers and sisters, to be able to discern the deception that Satan will bring on, because we know that, you know, he had his power and his gift, and those have not been taken away, but, you know, he doesn't have it as strong as he did, but he still has power, and, you know, he has the most beautiful voice. He was a beautiful angel, and we know that he will deceive us even when he comes as Christ, with his beauty, with his words, majestic, being that we have never seen before. Many will be deceived just by the appearance and not even him saying a word. So we have to be very mindful and search the scriptures and study for ourselves, because we will, you know, might forget that he's not supposed to touch the ground, but by the deceptiveness on him, something might come over us. So we have to be very careful and ask God to help us not to fall by any deception or delusion
of the devil or of the angels that will be doing miracles and to deceive others. So may the Lord truly help us, because we are in the last days, and we know that Jesus is soon to come. So the devil has but a short time, and he will be using all of his tricks to deceive us so that we will not have the benefit that he forfeited, the beauty of heaven, all the holy angels, the other beings, and just being in the presence of the Lord is good enough for me. But he has a blessing in store for us. He has mansions that he has prepared for us in heaven, and we'll have our earthly home. We'll be able to travel. Oh, brothers and sisters, let us hold fast our professional faith. Let us cling to our Lord. Amen. So I'll check, see if there's anyone who has pressed 1 again. Please press 1 so that you can share your testimony, your prayer request, scripture reading at this time. See, Sister Leola is on. I don't see that she has pressed 1 as yet. I don't think she's having phone technically difficulties, so I'll wait for her to press 1. And so I will continue reading. Again, it's chapter 37, GC, the 88th version. It says, when God sent to men warning so important that they are presented as proclaimed by holy angels flying in the midst of heaven, he required every person endowed with reasoning power to heed the message. The fearful judgments denounced against the worship of the beast and his image, Revelation 14, 9 through 11, should lead all to a diligent study of the prophecies to learn what the mark of the beast is and how they are to avoid receiving it. But the masses of the people turn away their ears from hearing the truth. What do the mass do? They turn away their ears from hearing the truth, and they will be judged as if they heard it because they refuse to hear it. Okay, but the mass of the people turn away their ears from hearing the truth and are turned either truth or error. You can't believe both. You're going to have to, you know, choose this day who you're going to serve. You're going to serve the Lord, or you're going to serve Satan. And it's continue saying, the Apostle Paul declared, looking down to the last days, and these are the last days that we're living in, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:3. That time has fully come. The multitude do not want Bible truth because it interferes with the desire of the sinful, world-loving heart, and Satan supplies the deception which they love. And we see that all around us. But God will have a people upon earth to maintain the Bible and the Bible only as the standard for all doctrine and the basis of all reform. The opinion of learned men, the delusion of science, the creed of decision of ecclesiastical council as numbers and discordant churches which they represent. So we're going to have all these learned men coming against us, but we have to stick to the Bible and the Bible alone. Amen. The voice of the majority, not one or all of these should be regarded as evidence for or against any point of religious faith. Before accepting any doctrine or precept, we should demand a plain, thus said the Lord, in its support. Say the Lord, we have to cast it aside. We have to say, thus said the Lord. Amen? So again, press 1 so that I can open your line. I'll see if Sister Lee Ola had pressed 1 and it didn't come through to me. 225-337, good evening, your line is open. Can you hear me, Sister Leola? Be on mute or she's not ready. Amen. Again, thank you for joining us. Good evening, Sister Katie. Happy Preparation Day. We're almost into the Sabbath hour. Please press 1 to share. And I will open your line. Surely God has done something good for you just by preserving you, by taking care of you, having a roof over your head, clothing, food. The Lord has truly blessed you, and you're able to move and have your being because of God. So this is the time to give your praise report, scripture reading. If you have a testimony, or if you have a prayer request, or if you would like to offer a word of prayer, this is the time also, brothers and sisters. Don't wait till it's too late, and then I won't be able to open your line. Amen. So 225-337, your line is now open.
Amen, amen.
You're on mute.
Amen. I can hear you.
Amen.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I am one thanking the Lord for the blessing of the Sabbath day. Another day that I could rest and don't have to get up and do all the other things. It's truly a blessing to enter in God's Sabbath. So I just want to offer a little prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, Father, we come before you to thank you once again for allowing us to enter into your Sabbath. And we are asking for your Holy Spirit to pour out the blessing upon us that we may understand the word of God that will be taught to us tonight. And all that come to listen, Father, we pray for each and every one that the word, when it falls on our heart, Father, help us. Help us to hear you. Help us to follow you, Father, with all our heart and our soul, to love you and to keep your word. Oh, Father, thank you right now. Thank you for this prayer line up to you, Father, just to thank you and praise you because you have blessed us that we can come together in fellowship. I thank you for hearing all the testimonies. I'm thanking you, Father, for our Savior and for what he is continuing to do for us. We would not be here today, Father, because there's so many people we know that done passed and gone or in some sort of accident or laying in their bed sick. So, Heavenly Father, I pray, dear Father, for each and every one of us. I pray for our families. I pray, dear Lord, for our ministry, all the word that we send out to people. Make they understand, Father, that this time we are living in, the Bible tells us that when we search the word out and when we find, Father, it's nothing but you can strengthen us and lead and guide us. So keep us tonight as we listen and focus on your word tonight. And I just pray for Sister Carl as she's hosting and even the speaker tonight. Bless us, Father, and keep us while we are in your presence. We thank you so much for your blessing. And we ask all this in your son Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla. I just want to read the fourth commandment by God's grace in Exodus chapter 20 and verses. I'm just going to read the Sabbath. Amen.
Amen.
Just to show that our Father has truly given us a word that we may understand this life we are living in and that we are to follow that. And, you know, I think of one thing when he said, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Hold on just a second at my page. I'm in a new Bible, and this this Bible I don't use as often. So let us read verses 8 through 11. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thy labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And in it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy strangers that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I just want to thank God for his Sabbath day and for us entering in it. And as God says, we are being holy. How are we to be holy? About accepting God's word, and not only accepting, we got to walk in it. So I want to thank God for that, Sister Carla. God bless you and everyone on the prayer line. And I just want to say happy Sabbath to everyone. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Cecilia. Let's come on. Precious truth, the word of God, which we have, the Lord, with all our hearts, your soul, and our mind. Thank you again. I'll go to the next caller again. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. Welcome this evening to Advent Light Ministry prayer line. And I will go ahead and open the line for 985-232-3615. And please press 1, brothers and sisters. Don't wait till it's too late. Press 1 so that I can open your line so that you can share. Your line is now open.
Good evening, Sister Carla. I just want to thank God for blessing us on this day. We, the day before the Sabbath, and we just want to thank God being so good. We made it to this day, this Friday, and we just like to give God thanks for his grace and mercy. I'd like to read a devotion prayer. Father, thank you for erasing our sins by your great mercy. Father, thank you for erasing our sins by your mercy. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Lord, as we meditate on the cleansing power of your blood, it draws us nearer to you. We long to follow you. We long to follow your ways. Teach us, Lord, to turn from evil and increase our faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, mercy. Thank you, Lord. This is what we're looking for, to increase our faithfulness and follow the Lord. And we want to continue to pray for one another, love one another, and lift each other up, that those that are confined in homes and can't help themselves. I just want to pray for our Advent Light, our brothers and sisters that are confined, nursing homes, those that are in the jail, wherever they may be, held sick, and all the people. And just want to pray for Sister Powell and all our brothers and sister ministry. Just want to pray that we pray for this world. We're in turmoil now. We just all need to pray for this world and one another. We need it bad. So I just thank you, Sister Carla, for to opening this line. And we pray for you that you go strong because you're doing a work. Amen.
Hello, hello. Hello to everyone. This is Brother John from Louisiana. And I just was, I seen something today. I hadn't even told my wife about it yet, but she is right by me. So I'll just say what happened to me. What I noticed earlier today, I have this guy that lives right here in home in our area. And I see him from time to time, we walking. And a lot of people say that his mind is gone and things like that. The guy, he talked to himself and everything, but he always laughing and he always smiling at people and he wave at people. So I passed by him. I was driving. I just happened to look at him and he smiled and waved toward me. And I know, and I looked and I seen his hand waving at other car and smiling. And every time I see this guy, they say his mind is gone and everything. But I said, but the good thing about him is it's gone in a good way, because some people mind be gone and, they be, like, mean and stuff, like, saying foul words and stuff, and people running from them because they're, because of their issues with their mind state. But this guy always smiling and stuff and waving at people. I said one good thing about him, though, at least he's in a peaceful state of mind, even though his mind gone. I know that's the day I thought about that. And I was thinking how some of us have our right mind, and I was just saying, if you do, it's good to be like him. Keep your mind, like, just keep them positive thoughts and smile more and stuff, and just count your blessings and everything. And, I was just thinking about if the whole world was more like, smile more like that guy do, it just would be a wonderful thing, So God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again for sharing. Brother John and Sister Brenda, it's always a blessing to hear both of you on the prayer line, knowing that we have brothers and sisters that we haven't met and throughout the world that Christ is bringing together for times such as this. So again, if there's anyone else who would like to share, press 1. Today has been a rainy day. It's been raining all day today. Sprinkling, basically chilly. I think it's in the upper 50s today, and tomorrow also be about 58. So we thank the Lord for this day. We thank Him for provision. We thank Him for health and strength, and we thank Him for supplying our needs and the needs of our brothers and sisters as this Holy Sabbath day is upon us. Amen. So, again, let us praise the Lord. There's no more testimonies. I will have a reading. So again, please press 1 if you would like to share. Amen. 954-394. Good evening. Your line is now open.
Good evening. I am Sister Lawrence from Nearing Home Ministry Church, and I am so happy that I could join you tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank the Lord for keeping me and my family safe throughout the week. I want to thank Him for all His blessings, and I'm thanking Him that my life is spared, that I could see another Sabbath day. And I just have a little reading, just a short reading from the book, The Faith I Live By. And it reads, "The bitter cup was appointed to drink, our sins mingled it, but our Savior, our dear Savior, took the cup from our lips and drank it Himself, and in its stead He presents us a cup of salvation. Amen. Christ loved us so much. When Adam and Eve sinned, death was upon them. God told them, do not eat, and they ate. They disobeyed God, therefore they were condemned to death. But Christ himself offered himself as a sacrifice, saved them from death, from eternal death. And it passed down to us, to me and to everyone on the prayer line also, that if we accept him, if we live for him, if we acknowledge him as our Savior and Lord, this bitter cup, we will not drink from it because he drank it for us. But if we refuse to accept him, we will drink that cup, which will cause eternal damnation to us. He gave us salvation by drinking the bitter cup for us. Let us accept that sacrifice, the greatest, the most expensive gift that heaven had. God gave it to us as human beings through Jesus Christ, his son. Amen. Have a good night.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for joining us, my sister, and for sharing that powerful reading and to remind us what the Lord has done for us. If we take a thoughtful hour each day to be reminded of the sacrifice that Jesus has done for us, that given all for us, his life, he bled and died for each and every. What have you done for the Lord? What have you done to tell him you love him and you accept him as your personal Savior and you want to live for him? We have to search our hearts, brothers and sisters, because we're going to have to give account for the time that we spent here, what we have done. So this, we're in solemn time, and it's time for us to afflict our souls and talk to God and you know, commune with him as we do to a friend or a loved one. And I want to read this reading from the book Prayer. Chapter 1, paragraph 7.1, it says, we may commune with God in our hearts. We may walk in companionship with Christ. When engaged in our daily labor, we may breathe out our heart's desire, inaudible to any human ear. But that word cannot die away into silence, nor can it be lost. Nothing can drown the soul's desire. It rises above the din of the street, above the noise of machinery. It is God to whom we are speaking, and our prayers is heard. Ask, and ye shall receive. Ask for humility, wisdom, courage, increase of faith. To every sincere prayer, an answer will come. It may not come just as you desire or at the time you look for it, but it will come in the way and at the time that will best meet your need. The prayer you offer in loneliness, in the weariness, in trials, God answers, not always according to your expectations, but always for your good. Also found in Gospel Worker 258. Jesus invites us to pray. The Lord gives us the privilege of seeking him individually in earnest prayer, of unburdening our souls to him, keeping nothing from him whom has invited us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Only Jesus can give us rest, brother and sisters. Continue. Oh, how grateful we should be that Jesus is willing and able to bear all our infirmities and strengthen and heal all our diseases. If it will be, Lord. So he's only going to do those things which is for our good and for his glory. He does not, you know, want to do anything that's going to go against his kingdom or, you know, or affect any of us. No.
And that's taken from Ministry of Healing 16. Come unto me is his invitation. Whatever your anxiety and trials, spread out your case before the Lord. And this is also found in the Desire of Ages, page 329. Amen. So we have all these great promises, what our Lord will do, what he's capable of doing. Brothers and sisters, we have no time to waste but to run to our precious Lord, to fall at his feet and ask him to help us, because we are no match for the devil. But we have someone who have defeated him and who is working on our behalf if we give him permission. So if we have no one else that wants to press one, we will go into prayer again. Please press one so that I can open your line so that you can share. I'm going to check. God is truly good to each and every one of us and our families and friends. Go ahead and open this line, 518-482. Your line is open.
I just want to sing this song. Go to Dark Gethsemane during the season. Go to Dark Gethsemane, he that feels the tempter's storm. Your Redeemer's conflict sees, watch with him one bitter hour. Turn not from his griefs away, learn from Jesus Christ to pray. See him at the judgment hall, beaten, bound, reviled, arraigned. See him meekly bearing all, love to man his souls of sin. Shun not suffering, shame, or loss. Learn from him to bear the cross. Calvary's mournful mountain climb, there adorning at his feet. Mark that miracle of time, God's own sacrifice complete. It is finished, hear him cry, learn from Jesus Christ to die.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Yes.
Go ahead.
That song is finished.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we will go into prayer, my brothers and sisters, for the Lord said, where there's two or join in, you know, he will be in the midst. He will remove all infirmity. I ask that you will remove all iniquity, O Lord, from my heart, O Lord, from me, so that this prayer could be heard, O Lord. You know my desire to serve you. You know, each and every one of us are designed to serve you and to be your disciples. Lord, please forgive my brothers and sisters, our family, our friends, our children. Lord, please have mercy upon them. You said you will content with those that content with their children. You will save them, Isaiah 49:25. Oh, Lord, we present them before you. We ask that you will help them to turn, oh, Lord. You say, why should you die in your sin? Why should you, Lord, have mercy? We see many have went to an early grave. Oh, Father, for whatever reason, Lord, for whatever reason, because of fear, because of disobedience. Oh, Father, the devil has deceived them
and he's deceiving even now, Father. Help us, Lord, to truly represent you, to take you to this dying world, to speak of you, your love for them and their need of repentance, Lord. But we ourselves need to be holy as you are. Help us to be holy. I ask that you will bless each family represented here, Sister Viola and her family, Sister Campanelli, her family, Sister Brenda, Brother John, their family, my dear sister. I thank you for her. First time I've heard her on the line. May you continue to bless her and her family, Lord. Answer all her prayers according to your will, Lord. Dear Sister Tynika and her family, Sister Powell and her family, Sister Stephanie, even myself, Brother Rick, Lord, the Calvea family, Brother O'Neill and his family, Lord. There's so many brothers and sisters, Brother Eli, Sister Katie and her family, I ask that you will bless them. Brother Bernard, his family, his mom celebrating, I believe, 80 years old. Our friends and family abroad, we ask that you, because you are soon to come and you are waiting for us to give the last cry. You're waiting to pour upon us the early and the latter rain so that we can have power to spread this message, Lord. Help us, Lord. We surrender to you. Bless Brother Ricardo and Amar's way. Fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Bless his house and their wife. Bless the church and the ministry that they're a part of, Lord. May you continue to guide them. May you continue to instruct them. May you continue to lead them, oh, Lord, in the way that they should go. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. We thank you for all the missionaries, all the churches, all the pastors, the evangelists, doing your work and proclaiming the good news, Lord. Bless us this Sabbath day. Bless us, Lord. Answer our prayer. Hear our cry, oh, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. So I will go ahead and open the line for Brother Ricardo, 610-704. Blessed Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Thank you so much, Sister Carla, for opening my line. Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Sister Carla. May the Lord continue to keep you to remain faithful unto him. Truly, we can say God, of a woman of God, who always, every Friday evening, holding up the standard for the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, I know you are waiting to hear what God has in store for each and every one of us, even beloved, on this Vesper day, which is the preparation day, which is God's holy day. We're going to look at the black horse and its rider. I know last week, as it said, we was going to do a continuation on the red horse, but I believe you get the point. So we're going to move on and go look at the black horse and its rider. So when you're looking at the four horsemen, you are dealing with Christendom. You are dealing with everyone that believes in Jesus Christ. And we are looking at how the church reached in the condition she in today. And we're going to look at some things in God's word, and we can see where we have made an error and how we can come back to our Lord and Savior in these last days, because Jesus wants to pour out the Holy Spirit on each and every one of us. But he tried to show us our condition so we can turn from our wicked ways. Amen. So before we go into prayer, so today we are going to talk about the black horse period, when the church became proud, hearty, independent, ambitious, covetous, and worldly. Today, men sell truth and righteousness for worldly gain. Listen again. Today, men and women sell truth and righteousness for worldly gain. In other words, God's people, their mind is fixed upon worldly gain. Oh, I can make money. It's all about these things and not thinking about their soul salvation. The black horse denotes error and darkness. And when the church became connected with worldly power and wisdom, she lost her purity of doctrine and practices. So let us pray, beloved Father in heaven. I am asking you to touch my lips. I'm asking you to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, known and unknown, oh God. Lord, I'm asking you to touch my lips. Put the coal from the altar on my lips, oh God, and purge me. I'm asking you to touch my brain nerves, oh God, and put words in my mind. Let the Holy Spirit flash light from heaven in my mind. Lord, let me not speak my own words. Lord, I pray that you, when Satan try to bring any destruction upon any one of us on this prayer line, Lord, we pray that you may raise up a standard against the enemy. Now, Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us who are listening, oh God, wherever we are. Lord, I'm asking you to touch me, anoint me, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Now, we're going to look at Revelation, beloved, chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. But while you are going at Revelation chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, God pronounced a blessing upon the book of Revelation, upon those that read the book of Revelation and study, and to keep those things which are written in it. Let me just read Revelation 1, verse 3 for you. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. What is at hand, beloved? The time when you and I need to spend quality time in the study, in the word of Christ. The time, beloved, that you and I need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Beloved, the time when you and I, each and every one of us, name will come up in the judgment, in the final judgment. Time, beloved, that you and I need to examine our own souls, our own self in these last days. The time, beloved, when Michael will stand up. The time, beloved, the time is coming, beloved, that you and I will not have an intercessor, beloved, no more high priest. The time, beloved, while your high priest is in heaven, the time is at hand, beloved, when we need to send up our prayer, when we need to pray and fast like never before, when we need to fix our eyes on spiritual things. The time, beloved, when the power that be there not playing, beloved, the time, beloved, we see it approaching, where you will not be able to buy and sell. The time, beloved, when they're going to enforce the national Sunday law on each and every one of us. The time when we must make a conscious decision either for eternal life or damnation, beloved. The time, beloved, when we need to weep before the porch and the altar. The time, Advent light, life is coming. Life is coming. Walk while you have light, lest darkness come upon you. Go with me now, beloved. God pronounced a blessing on the book of Revelation. And, beloved, then that, in other words, blessed mean happy. Are you happy to read the word of God this evening? I pray, beloved, do not hear me. You need to hear what does say the Lord this evening. Amen. You need to take note in these last days, beloved, and to go back and to search and to see if these things are so, beloved. Because I'm telling you, the word of God will be your food in these last days. The word of God will sustain you, beloved. The word of God will keep you from falling into temptation. The word of God will keep you so you not go with all winds of doctrine in these last days, beloved. The word of God will give you spiritual strength, spiritual eyesight. I saw, beloved, the word of God will cause you and I to be man and woman of God in these last days. The word of God will prepare us to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit like never before without measure, oh, beloved. The time, beloved, we need to spend time with Jesus. Go with me to Revelation chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. It's read, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. Who? A black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Beloved, you see, price is going up. What is going on? What is causing this? Beloved, this is what we are reading. You see, inflation in everywhere, gas prices, food prices, rent prices, everything is going up. We are dealing with the black horse. When man is greedy for money, for worldly pleasure, worldly gain, man will take life for just for a morsel of bread, beloved. This is where we are heading, and it's going to get worse and worse. The black horse is describing the period of Pergamos. Pergamos means marriage. When God's people, they are marrying to worldly things, worldly gain. And beloved, Jesus called us to marry to him, marry to his true beloved. Are you with me, beloved? Look, God's people, we are divorcing Christ and are accepting Babylon things, beloved. We are married to Rome. All roads lead to Rome. The black horse is describing the period of Pergamos. What period? Pergamos. We're going to go into some little history. Bear with me now. This period shows the condition of the church today and how she lost her purity through false doctrine and practices. I'm going to read a quotation for you in Miller Evidence. Miller Evidence, page 181. It reads, page 181, the third beast, which represents the church, which is dealing with the black horse, under the seal, had a face as a man and showed that the church would be like a natural man, proud, hearty, independent, selfish, ambitious, covetous, and worldly. This seal was opened in the days of Constantine, when religion became popular and was a stepping stone to power. And this seal agrees with the Pergamos church as time and place. Now go one more step with me, beloved. Go one more step with me. Revelation, let us look at the Pergamos church. The black horse is dealing with the period of Pergamos. Go with me to Revelation chapter 2, verse 12 to 14. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12 to 14. When it is, amen. Amen. All right now. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12 to 14. I'm reading third angel. And the angel of the church in Pergamos writes, these things said he which has the sharp, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. So the church of Pergamos is dwelling where? Where Satan's seat is. In other words, where Rome is dwelling, occupying right now. Watch this now. No wonder that you see pagan teaching is coming among the church of God in these last days, which is the Seventh-day Adventist church. Watch this now. These things said he which had a sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works. God say, he what? He know your works, Advent life, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, mercy, and has not denied my faith, thank God, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful marvel. We're going to explain all of these things. Are you with me, beloved? Because remember, the book of Revelation is written in symbols. Are you with me? So now we need the Holy Spirit. So while you are reading, ask God to open up your mind. Ask him for the revelation of the Holy Spirit so you can understand where God is trying to take us. Amen? Antipas was my faithful martyr who was slain among you. Persecution is coming. I'm trying to show you the past and the future. Are you with me, beloved? Bear with me now. Who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth? But I have a few things against thee. What is these few things you have against us, Lord? Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Mercy. Who taught Balak to cause a stumbling before the children of Israel? Are we seeing this today? When God called his ministers to preach the word of God, now we are bringing different teachings and different erroneous doctrine and bringing a stumbling block. When we are not preaching present truth, beloved, when we try to be careless and come before God's people with any and any kind of truth, we are putting a stumbling block before God's people to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. We must call sin by its right name. Now, beloved, let us look a little deeper in our past history. The condition of Christianity for two or more centuries follows the ascension of Constantine the Great to the Roman throne may be learned from the message delivered to the church of Pergamos. 10 years persecution, which took place during the reign of can't pronounce this guy's name, I skip it, failed to accomplish the design of his instigator. And a wonderful reaction followed. Constantine now, wishing to gain favor above the very men who were foremost in the opposition to Christianity. In other words, Rome was this persecuting the church, and Constantine said, if I can find favor, I gain an opportunity with Christianity. But what Constantine do, beloved, he merged paganism with Christianity. Are you with me, beloved? And so the church lost our purity and lost our practices of doctrine. So that's why now they use Good Friday or they use Easter, beloved. What Rome did, they would introduce the people them to Easter and try to dilute it, say, it, dealing with the birth of Christ. Yes, but what they do, they change the day. They give them Sunday. And a lot of people stop keeping the Sabbath. Now that you see we have an issue over worship. The church lost her purity, mean the church is worshiping on the wrong day. That's why God called them Babylon. Come out of my people. Come out of her, my people. Babylon is falling. Is falling. What caused Babylon to be falling? Because of her teaching that is against God's holy word. Constantine, wishing to gain favor above the very men who were foremost in the opposition to Christianity, espoused the cause of that despised sect. And through him, Christianity was raised to the throne of Rome. In other words, go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. This is how the man of sin was revealed. That the Bible, Paul was giving the people them a message. He said this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Falling away from what? God's people falling away from the love of the truth, falling away from principle, and following heresy. So this is what caused the falling away. So when the falling away come first, what going to happen? And that man of sin be what? Revealed. Who is the man of sin? The Roman Catholic Church, the Pope, beloved. Because God's people stop following sound doctrine. This is why the church is in the condition that you see it in now. The son of perdition. In other words, beloved, not only does Pergamos carry the meaning of power and exaltation, but it also indicates union through marriage. In other words, what Pergamos means? Union through marriage. So now, watch this now, beloved. Let me show you now, when this is the period, the Black Horse period is dealing with the time of Pergamos. This is when the church married to Rome. Not only does Pergamos carry the meaning of power and exaltation. We're going to break that word down for you, Pergamos. We're going to break it down. Bear with me now. Not only does Pergamos carry the meaning of power and exaltation, but it also indicates union through marriage. The Greek word gamos means marriage. Are you here? Are you with me, beloved? In other words, G-A-M-O-S, gamos means marriage. Are you with me? During the period, the church was exalted to royal power and kingly authority through a union or marriage. Remember what gamos means? G-A-M-O-S, marriage. In the Greek word, you find this word, gamos means marriage. Are you with me? We're dealing with the Black Horse, dealing with the time of Pergamos. Remember now. Remember this. During Pergamos period, the church was exalted to royal power and kingly authority through a union or marriage with the state. Ah, so now you see what's coming together. Church and state is coming to us together. Satan had failed to crush the church and destroy Christianity persecution. In other words, during the time of persecution, beloved, they killed one Christian 10 will join the church. So Satan changed his policy. Listen now. Satan had failed to crush the church and destroy Christianity through persecution, and he therefore changed his policy. What Satan did, changed his policy. So while Rome was persecuting the Christians, they realized, man, we can't keep up with these people. We kill one, we kill 10, 40 join. We kill 20, 60 join. Watch this now. Join the church, as it were, join the church in order to ruin it from within through amalgamation. So how Satan realized, I cannot destroy the church from out, without. Yes, he killed a lot of saints, but in order for me to ruin them, I have to come amongst them and bring in all of my false doctrine through Rome. That's why you see we have Valentine's coming from Rome, Easter coming from Rome, Christmas coming from Rome, all of these pagan holidays coming from Rome. And when we acknowledge these holidays, you are giving homage to Rome or Satan. When you think God saying, beloved, again, come out from her, come out of her, my people, and partake not of her plague. God say, I am a jealous God. I will repay. God is a jealous God, beloved. But in other words, God is still long-suffering towards a lot of us. God wink at our ignorance, but when light is come, when truth is come, he cannot wink. And now we see the Seventh-day Adventist church leaders, they are merging, and all of our other leaders, they are merging with Rome. We see they are coming in alliance, in allegiance with Rome. Men who are shaking Pope Francis' hand, we see our leaders, they are sitting around the table talking, round table talk. What is going on? Church and state is coming together, beloved. But let us take heed. Satan joins the church in order to ruin it from within through amalgamation with the world and union with the state. When Satan fails to accomplish his purpose through violence, he corrupts the church through worldly alliance. Rome boasts of her ability to assimilate anything that contributes to her strength. In the person of Constantine, the church mounts the throne of the Caesars and reign as king. The Roman Catholic Church developed, beloved. The Pergamos period covered about 250 years. So now, remember we read earlier talking about Antipas was my faithful martyr. Who was in Bible prophecy? Who was Antipas in Bible prophecy, beloved? Go with me to Revelation again, chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. Let me just, for emphasis, during Antipas' time, there were many who maintained their fidelity to the altar and truth, who worshiped God alone and was slain for their faithfulness to God, God's word. So who is Antipas in Bible prophecy? Let us read that Revelation chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. And the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things say he which has the sharp sword, two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and has not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr. If you're going to be faithful to God's holy word, some of us are going to be put to death, some of us are going to go to prison. But beloved, this must not shake your faith. This must not cause you to be afraid. Because if you give in, beloved, you will receive the seven last plagues. You will be lost forever. God is looking for a man and a woman on this prayer line who will say, dare to be here, Daniel. Dare to stand alone. dear to our purpose and make it known. I will stand on God's holy word, even though the majority go left. I will stay on the narrow path. Beloved, God is looking for men and women. God is trying to gather his number in these last days. God is looking for people who will say, who he can say, these are they, which get victory over sin. He can say, these are the ones, these are the 144,000 who will never experience death. Because the 144,000, beloved, they have to stand against all error. They have to stand against the system. They have to stand against Rome's system. Babylon. They're going to expose Babylon. The Lord's cry, beloved, is to expose Rome and call God's people out of that system. Are you in that number? You may say, my brother, I don't know how to speak, but don't worry if you remain faithful. God will use stammer tongue, beloved, and God will anoint your words, beloved, and you will speak with clarity, with power. People will hear the word of God with power, beloved, and they will give heed to that calling. Do you want to see that power of God manifest through you and I? You must remain faithful. You must know what does say the word of God. You must study your word of God. You must get up on your knees and say, Lord, I want to be one of those faithful ones. Lord, I want to be in that number, the 144,000. And if I am not, Lord, I want to die sealed. We must talk to God like this, beloved. What is occupying your time? Is money? Is passion? Is it things of this world? Beloved, the only thing must occupy your time is to spend time with Jesus in his word. I want to know if you are hunger, if you have a hunger for righteousness. Do you have a hunger for the worldly things, for the things of this world? Beloved, God is looking for men and women. Who is in Jesus? I don't know much, but use me. I am here. I am available. And God will touch your brain nerves. God will put words in your mind. God will touch your brain cells, beloved. He will transform your mind, touch your mouth, beloved. And when you speak words of life, people will come out of the dead condition they are in, beloved. People who are broken, beloved, when you speak to them, they will be restored by the word of God that's coming from your mouth. God is looking for a man and woman on Advent night who will say, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose and make it known. I am a Seventh-day Adventist. I am a true reformer. I am a true saint in these last days. God, you call me to protest. You call me to call sin by right. Beloved, Jesus is coming. Can you not see the signs on the wall? Can you not see the handwriting on the wall? We have a few more years, beloved. I don't know. I just say a few more years for them to shut us down, beloved. Are you ready? Are you ready, Advent life? Get up. If you have spiritual arthritis, God, have a ladder. You must take hold of those angels. Those angels will take you up and give you spiritual stamina so you can go and march and walk with the footman, because the heart man is coming. If you cannot contend with the footman, beloved, how will you go with the horse man? Advent like Jesus Christ is coming. Get ready and get others ready. Get your oath in ready. Calling back man to holiness, beloved. Church, we are looking after worldly pleasure. Remember, beloved, God said this world is not your home. I go to prepare a place for you, Advent life, man, boy, girl, old and young. I go to prepare a place for you, and here I am, there you shall be also. Your street will be street of gold. It is going to be shining like a looking glass. When you look in those streets of gold, you will see your face, no wrinkle, no gray hairs. You ain't got to worry about torment. You ain't got to worry about paying bills and all these things. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, my sister. Your streets, your walls will be diamonds and pearls. My sister, remain faithful. Whoever you are on this prayer line, Jesus Christ is coming. We must preach truth to God's people. We must call sin by right name. We must preach to make people get uncomfortable.
need present truth. Present truth bring revival and reformation. Present truth bring unity among the flock. Present truth will cause God's people to leave the false doctrine. Present truth calls people back to the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. Present truth calls people to the porch and the altar. Present truth calls people to see sin in its all of its nature and want nothing to do with it. Present truth calls God's people to stand firm. Present truth calls God's people not to want nothing to do with this world, but they have a burden for souls. Beloved, Jesus Christ is coming. Advent light, you are precious in Jesus' eyes. You are precious. I'm pouring out my heart when I'm speaking to you. God is pleading to you, Advent light. You are love. Jesus paid the price for you while he was on Calvary cross. Blood was gushing from his body. Life was leaving his body. And he said, this life was leaving my body right now, Advent light. I want to give you this life. Who is it? I want to give life. Jesus said, if any man follow me, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Advent light. I want to give you life. I want to give you life. I want to bring joy in your life. Advent light. Who is it? If you are down today, Jesus wants to give you joy, peace. Advent light. Who are you today? Whatever you are going through, give your hands. Give your problem to Jesus Christ. He is coming. He is coming with joy. Don't worry about what this world brings. Don't worry about the roof that you will not have over your head no more. Don't worry about the bank book as the life. Don't worry about that. Your bank book will be hot in heaven. Your bank book will be under your feet as the life. Don't worry about the diamonds and the pearl as the life. Your wealth will be the walls, the streets of gold, Advent light. Do not worry, Advent light. Jesus said, if you take off that Babylonian garment, I will give you a white robe. Jesus said, if you follow my health reform and take off those wings off your head, I will give you a crown of glory. Jesus said, do not worry about that name. If you willing to follow me, I will give you a name better than sons and daughters, Advent light. Who are you today? There is hope. Jesus Christ is coming, and he's coming with 10,000 and thousands of angels. He's coming in his heart of glory. He is coming back as the light. Get ready, and get others ready. Come in. God, bring me somewhere else. Bear with me, beloved. When you come on Advent light, beloved, this ministry is named Advent light. Life exposed darkness. This message made me who I am today, beloved. And Jesus called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he told me he's going to use me. Never know how I was going to speak to you, but beloved, Jesus Christ is pleading, beloved. He loved you so much. While he was on Calvary cross, beloved, everyone forsake him. Jesus said, family and friends may forsake you, but the time is coming. The time is coming. I will be in your presence. The time is coming. You will not feel lonely. The time is coming, Advent life. You will not be heartbroken. The time is coming, Advent life, that people will criticize you, pass your name out of like word. Advent life. Jesus Christ is coming. He wants to give you life. Walk while you have the light. What is this light? His word. If you have a love for Jesus Christ, you will say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I hear you speaking to me, to that little man. Lord Jesus, but I cannot do it in my strength. All you have to just call on him. Just say, Lord, save me. You ain't got to try to pray and try to convince God and try to coerce God with your big words. All you have to say, Lord, help me. And God understand when he look at your heart, Advent light. He know what the art trying to say, but you don't have the words to say. We are told in the Bible, the Holy Spirit pray for us that we cannot understand in groanings, beloved. You not know, you and I do not know what to pray for, beloved, but when you pray, the Holy Spirit picks up that prayer, the Holy Spirit varnish and bust that prayer and put and send it to Jesus. When that prayer go up to Jesus, Jesus understand the prayer. Your prayer go up to Jesus like a sweet smelling aroma, Advent light. Jesus Christ is coming, Advent light. Get crazy Advent Light, but I'm telling you, Advent Light, Jesus has to hallow these things, Advent Light, because we have to go through some hardship. Advent Light, and when we are going through some hardship, he's going to show that you are impatient. He's going to show that you are ungrateful. And we are told, beloved, when the judgments are in the land, then shall the inhabitants learn righteousness. Beloved, through persecution, beloved, you and I will understand and appreciate the value of Jesus' death on Calvary Cross. When we are going through persecution and our bank account locked down and we cannot be able to buy and sell, we can go to the gas station and buy gas. Then we will call out as the Lord, save me. Then we will represent Christ Jesus in all of his nature. Beloved, we will have nothing to do with sin. We will have nothing to do with self. But God has to allow these things to come upon you and I. Because, beloved, there are some things in you and I character. And God said, I have to bring you through this storm. And God said, why you are bringing it through this storm? You just need to be still. Because I am in this storm with you as well tonight. And how will the water will not overflow you. The fire will not scorch you. But as the light, if you believe in me as the light, I will bring you through. I will, when I finish with you as the light, there is no sin in you. I can present you before the Father without fault or wrinkle as the light. You need to get ready as the light.
Come in, beloved. I want to wake you up, beloved. Keep praying. The Lord, I want to speak with power. Give me the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Beloved, we need to pray for the Holy Spirit like never before. Because the Holy Spirit is coming. The time is coming, beloved. Remember when on the day of Pentecost, Peter, they're a learned man. But when they speak there and do with the power from an eye, and men marvel. The wisest man on earth cannot stand up to them because they speak with power, with authority, with spiritual boldness. And beloved, thousands are in the church. Advent Light, Jesus loves you. Jesus is coming back. Let us move on. Whatever you are going through, beloved, I pray that God touch somebody's heart this evening. Jesus loves you. Father God, thank you. Okay, let me read one more. Okay, we read Revelation chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. It is supposed, okay, I'm going to read another quotation from William Miller, Evidence. Okay, William Miller, I have a lot of quotation regarding the four horsemen. He's the one that really studied deeply on these issues. So when you hear I'm reading, so Miller, this is coming from William Miller writings, but it's called Miller Evidence. In Miller Evidence, on page 138 and page 139, it's supposed that Antipas was not an individual. Antipas was never just a one person. Are you getting it? So he's saying, William Miller is saying, he's reading the Bible and God is leading him through inspiration. It is supposed that Antipas was not an individual, but a class of men who opposed the power of the bishops or popes in that day. Being a combination of two words, anti, opposed, and papa's father or pope. So Antipas opposed the Pope or the Bishop of Rome. And so because of that, many of them lost their lives. And many of them suffered martyrdom at that time in Constantinople and Rome. When the bishops and popes began to exercise the power which soon after brought into subjection to the kings of the earth, and trample on the rights of the Church of Christ. The beloved, we are ending on a time, we are heading on to the same part, and that the Church has to stand against the Roman Catholic Church. The Lord cry, beloved, going to bring many to primitive godliness. The Lord cry, beloved, many a Seventh-day Adventist going to go out, and many at the first day church will come in. It's going to happen. But are you sure what you believe? Do you know what you believe? Are you just, okay, I believe in the Sabbath. But it is more. There is a history behind the Seventh-day Adventist Church. There is a history behind Christendom. Many just come into the church and accept it. And they follow what their mom teach them. They follow their parents' tradition, mind tradition. That's what the Bible said. We must study to show ourselves approved. God wants each and every one of us to come to light, to go and to see if this light, if this knowledge that I come to know of Christ is accurate or true. Many are worshiping Christ sincerely wrong. Even some Seventh-day Adventists. But let us move on, beloved. In Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 749, Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 749, I know I have a lot of stuff I'm reading, bear with me. The Greek word for Martha is martios, meaning witness. So these men, they're a witness for Christ, and so because they're a witnessing the true word of God, they lost their lives. And the time is coming again, beloved, that many of God's people are going to put to death. And they're going to remain a few people that we call the 144,000 who will never experience death. I can be talking to somebody on this prayer line. You are part of the 144,000, but you do not know as yet. Or may not. Or you may die. We don't know. But the conclusion of the whole matter is you must know who Christ is. You must have a relationship with Christ. This thing is real, beloved. The movies, all of these things is destruction. On TV, beloved, we need to turn up TV. This is the real TV that we are dealing with. Satan use these things to distract God's people so they do not make the necessary preparation, because not knowing that we are coming to the final drama. This is dealing with the final drama, beloved. And every one of us have to stand in our lot by ourselves to prove to heaven how you are, will you and I stand in that great day. Antipas, faithfully proclaim the word of God. Review and Error, May 8, 1894. Men have failed to cooperate with Jesus in his divine mission and have placed themselves under the black banner of the Prince of Darkness, giving themselves up to be agents through whom the powers of darkness work for the destruction of humanity. It is Satan's purpose to counteract the work of Christ, and in his counsel, he lays plan by which to convert soul into a channel of darkness, field of battle, in which the powers of light and darkness are in controversy over the human soul for whom Christ died. So we are in a controversy, beloved. We are in a battle, and the earth is the battlefield. Who will win the battle? Who will win the battle in your mind? We know God's going to win, but who will win the battle? Either sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? We don't have it in our strength to do so. But let us ask God on a daily basis for the power of the Holy Spirit so we can resist sin. Beloved, they are trying to come up with this digital currency, beloved. Your money will of an expiration date. I don't know if you go into the store and see Beyond Meat is taking over. That is lab meat, beloved. The power that they plan is to kill all of the animals that you can think of. The power that be, beloved, they are trying to talk about, they are coming up with laws that you have to register your garden, that you have to register your chicken. Can you imagine this, Lord have mercy? Register your garden, register your chicken, and your garden will be on a map, just like your address. You live somewhere, you live in a house, somebody want to look where you live, all you have to do is find your address, and your house popped up. They want to do the same with your garden. So because Satan knows that he have a few hours left, I just say use hours, because one day is 1,000 years in God's sight. Satan knows he have a few short time left. And Satan say he hates Sabbath keepers. Distract them, let them love money. Let them hate one another. And when we get them to do this, they are our subjects. These things in the spirit of prophecy, you know, beloved. And this is what I see are going among the Seventh-day Adventist church. And I say, Lord, keep me. We are distracted. P.D. Brooks said the ministers, they are so occupied with worldly things. They spend a little bit of time in the Word of God. But when they come before God's people, they have little bit of substance. Spiritual prophecy said preaching preachers are preaching to sleeping congregation. Cannot arouse the people to a sense of duty. Cannot arouse the people to show that, listen, everything that you think you have right now, it's going away from you. Enjoy. Either you're going to cling to it. Jesus said, remember a lot wise. It's coming, beloved. It's going to be a reality. Some of us, beloved, we're just going to wake up, and that's it. Now they are doing a test run, beloved. A lot of people's bank account is closing down without warning. A lot of people's money is missing. This is a test run. Can you not see every time you go to the store, the price going up, like constantly, beloved? Go to the store this week. Another 3 weeks, I see the price going up. What is going on? Beloved, we see a measure of wheat for a barley. In other words, beloved, a loaf of bread will be a day wage, beloved. It's coming. A loaf of bread. You're not making just buy a bread for $5 or whatever. Beloved, a loaf of bread, beloved, they want this thing to hike up. Will cost over $100. Are you ready, beloved? No, the test is coming, because we are told human law is going to be made so stringent that men and women will not dare to keep the Sabbath. Why? Because of food and clothing. What happened to the food and clothing? Aye. Only those who are genuine and sincere, worshiping Christ, going to have a faith that can endure hunger, deprivation, and all the rest. Do you taking God's Sabbath serious now? Are you taking God's Sabbath serious? If you're not taking the Sabbath serious, you will not keep the Sabbath when RL broke loose. Because she said, human laws, what? Human laws going to be made so stringent that men and women will not dare to keep. In other words, we are reading the Black Horse. When the church will become proud, party, selfish, and bishop, ambitious, greedy for gain. And because of this, men sell truth and righteousness for worldly gain. That's why you're not hearing people here. You're not hearing the message preaching on second angels. Pastors don't even want to touch dress reform. Beloved, we go over the study regarding the third angel message preparing a people to stand. Beloved, the third angel message, if you're going to go before the judge, you cannot be eating meat. In other words, if you catch a court case, you must have your evidence, right? before you go before that court, before the judge. God is the judge, the righteous judge. Jesus Christ is your lawyer. He said, I'm going to give you my Bible and the spirit of prophecy. I said, I'm going to change your diet. Why I'm changing your diet? Because I want your mind to be clear. Your body, because of sickness and disease, because of the curse of sin. Now I'm going to change your diet so you can overcome all of these sickness that is coming up upon the earth. So your body will be in good shape. I change your clothing. Because if God say he give us a dress to farm, it is salvational. If he give us a diet, it is salvational. All of these things, beloved, we are told God's purpose in giving the third angel message, beloved, to the world is to prepare a people to stand true to the Lord during the investigative judgment. The court, the regular court, the earthly court of dress reform, dress code. They said you cannot come with a blouse or actually laying with certain, your arms showing and all of these things. I don't know if they change these things. And if you come barefaced, you will not go into that courtroom. And if you have a case and they say you're absent, you can go to jail because you never show up at court. How is it that we come before a holy God? We want to come as how we are. Come to God as you are, but God do not keep fools. He takes fools, but you don't keep them. He train you. Jesus said he train us. Beloved, if you are preparing for heaven, you must look like you are going to heaven. Are you with me? Only the redeemed going to go to heaven. If you are saying that you are redeemed, you must look like you are redeemed on a daily basis. Are you with me, beloved? Does these things make sense? Jesus Christ is coming for you and I. Heaven, angels is going back and forth to see if you are following dressing form, if you are following the health principles. God says, eat this kind of way because I'm changing your taste bud. I'm changing your taste bud, in other words, changing your taste bud physically and spiritually. I'm changing your taste buds physically and spiritually. When I change it, you will have a taste and a hunger and a longing for spiritual things. A lot of people looking at the health message literally, but if you look at it spiritually, Jesus tried to give you a spiritual taste bud. So you will have a longing and a desire. Prayer is a discipline. So now when you are disciplined in eating habits, in a regular eating, you will have be disciplined in studying, be disciplined in prayer, be disciplined in carrying yourself as God ought you and I to be. For the Bible says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk, hold it, walk as what? Children of light. In other words, if you're not going to walk as children of light, do you know, beloved, when me and my wife, we are traveling, people, we don't hope it up one more. People say, man, you look like you're coming from church. I say, why you ask that? Because the way you dress. People ask, ladies asking my wife, are you a Seventh-day Adventist? Why do you ask that? Because the way you dress. Do you see what I'm saying? Because when you're doing this, beloved, do you know that if you're going to go to church and the minister, before he open his mouth, his suit already preach already for him? Yes, beloved. Our appearance is our first witness. So God loved us so much, beloved. He gave us these things. Why he said, come out of her, my people. Come out from the world. Though we're in the world, we must not be like the world. Move on, beloved. Talking too much now. Go with me to Ezekiel 34, verse 4. Ezekiel 34, verse 4. Many are destroying the living pastors, and because of this, many are dying of lack of spiritual knowledge of God's holy word. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 4, and I'm also reading Desire of Ages 478, paragraph 1. The Pharisees, Desire of Ages 478, paragraph 1. The Pharisees had not entered by the door. They had climbed into the fold by another way than Christ, and they were not fulfilling the work of the true shepherd. The priests and rulers, the scribes and Pharisees, destroyed the living pastors. and defiles the wellspring of the water of life. What does the Bible just, the spirit of prophecy just said, beloved? The priests and the rulers, the scribes and Pharisees, what they did, destroys the living pastures. We want to know, what is this living pasture? Hold it right there. And defies the wellspring of the water of life. What is the wellspring of the water of life? And destroy and defile the wellspring of the water of life. This is dealing with the Holy Spirit. And the living pastors is dealing with the word of God. Watch this now. Faithfully do the words of inspiration describe those false shepherds. The disease have ye not strengthened. This is dealing with Ezekiel now, 34, verse 4. The disease ye have not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. But with force and with cruelty ye have ruled them. Go one more step with me. We're looking at living pastures. What is this living pastures? Go with me to Psalms 23, verse 2. Psalms 23, verse 2. What is the living pastures that the scribes and Pharisees destroy? We want to know, because this, the spirit of prophecy said in Desire of Ages 478, paragraph 1, it says the priests and rulers and scribes and Pharisees destroy the living pastures. We want to look at what is this living pasture. So she said they destroy it. What is this? Go with me to Psalms 23, verse 2. Are you there? When you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. Psalms 23, verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, this is dealing with a shepherd. Remember the Bible said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not, in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, right? He leadeth me beside still waters. Remember, we are doing line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, and what? There a little, right? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Who he maketh to lie down in green pastures? The sheep. Remember, the shepherd, the Lord is my what? Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So the shepherd caused the sheep to lie down in what? Green pastures. What is a green pasture? Maybe just a hoping green field. So the green pastures is dealing with the word of God. Watch this now. Go one more step with me now. Let me show you. First Chronicles chapter 4, verse 39 and 40. Watch this now. We're dealing with green pastures. We're dealing with pastures now. Are you with me? The Bible said green pastures. If you have your phone, you could look up what is green pastures. The picture will bring up a hope in green field where shepherds will bring their flock. Watch this now. Because the shepherds, they are not teaching the church of God what the sheep go, they go astray. They are looking up, they are going after worldly things. And this is why the church lost sight of Christ or lost our purity of faith and doctrine. Watch this now. First Chronicles chapter 4, verse 39 and 40. First Chronicles chapter 4, verse 39 and 40. And they went to the entrance of Gedor, even unto the east side of the valley, to seek pasture. Remember, what is pasture again? Pasture is where you go to bring your sheep to eat grass. To seek pasture for their what? Flocks. So God called his people flock or sheep. And they found fat pastures and good. In other words, that popular area is full of green grass. So that's what the Bible says. And they found fat pastures and grass. And the land was wide here, full of grass, and quiet, and peaceable, for the ham had dwelled there of old. I want you to catch this, beloved. So when God's ministers give God's people present truth, what come with it? You will be quiet. Your spirit will have a quietness within, because what? You are being satisfied. And where are the kitchens, beloved? And they found fat pastures and good. And the land was wide. They have all of the sheep is able to spread their wing and go and eat wherever they want to go, all right? And the land was what? Quiet. And the land was what? Peaceable. For they of Ham had dwelled there of old. For the land was what? Quiet and peaceable. Go with me. running out of time. We have to come back next week by God's grace. Go with me to Jeremiah. Keep a finger at this verse. Because this is a comparison. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 23. Watch this now. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1 to 4. I'm going to read this quickly. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1 to 4. We do that comparison. So I like this verse. Is what is one to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pastors. Same thing, right? Destroy. Listen now. Same thing. We're dealing with the word pastor. Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pastors, says the Lord. Verse 2. Therefore, so says the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. So what they use pastors to do? To feed. Watch this now. Watch the correlation. Thus says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. He have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. So if the flock is driven away, is there peace among the flock? No. They are torment, right? They are fearful. And have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, says the Lord. Verse 3. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and dwell and will dwell among them again. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and will bring them again to their foes, yes? And they shall be fruitful and increase. Remember, in Chronicles talk about they found fat pasture. When you found fat pasture, the flocks will be what? Fruitful and increase. Verse 4, and I will set up what? Shepherds. The shepherd lead, the true shepherd, faithful shepherd, what the people who believe and love the flock will lead them into righteousness. Verse 4, I will set up shepherds over them, which shall what? Feed them with what? Green pastures. And they shall fear no what? More. Remember, the land that the shepherds they look for, it says, and they found fat what? Pasture and good. And the land was what? Void and quiet. In other words, quiet, there's no disturbance. And peaceable, for they of them that dwell thereof. Go one more step with me, dealing with pastors again. Go with me to Psalm 79, verse 13. Psalm 79, verse 13. We're going to come back next week, beloved. I have a lot to show you. Psalm 79, verse 13. We're dealing with pastors. We want to know what is pastors. I hope you get it. The pastors is dealing with the word of God. Okay, we read this last one. So we thy people and sheep of thy pasture. Well, it's right there. You catch it, right? So we thy what? People. So who is leading the people? The true shepherd. Jesus Christ is the true shepherd. So we thy people and sheep of thy pastures will give thee thanks forever. We shall show forth thy praises to all generations. When God's people are being well fed, they will give what? Praises and thanks, because they are being well fed with the word of God. Amen? So, beloved, next week, be with me now. Next week, we will come back by God's grace. I promise you, we will come back on the black horse period. I have a lot of verse to give you. So let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Whatever I failed to say, whatever I failed to not do, I'm asking to show me. I repent of my sins, and I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters. As we are about to depart from the phone, I pray that we all will get good sleep and wake up tomorrow refreshed to take on the Sabbath day, O God, and to keep it holy in all thy ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Ricardo, for that timely message. As always, as the Lord always leads you in the way that he wants you to go and the things that he wants you to present to us. So we thank the Lord for that. And this is a very wonderful subject, because we have to, see if we're being led by the right shepherd or by the hireling, those dumb dogs that, cannot speak or don't have the word of God. They have like a mask out over their mouth. They cannot teach us the things that we ought to know at this last day, and so that we can get ready for the Lord's soon return. So again, we thank you for presenting to us, and we hope to hear you back here next week, Friday, Preparation Day, bringing in the Sabbath. And Sunday we'll have last day event, and on Thursday we'll have health reform. So brothers and sisters, thank you for joining us. Truly a very pleasant, happy Sabbath evening to each and every one of you. Have a good night rest and wake up to meet the Lord. Amen. Thank you. God bless.
Calling, O sinner, come home.